We're going to continue, and I wanted to shift gears a little bit, but still having a heart for missions, continuing there, but go to Romans 1 with me, will you, tonight? Romans 1, and just looking at a little bit of why missions, to look at the purpose we looked at of missions. We saw the heart for missions. We saw this morning the blueprint for missions, if you will, kind of the foundation, the framework, the forward movement of missions that took place, but really why missions? Notice Romans 1, you folks know, I'm sure, very well, but he goes and he says in verse 18, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world," notice, "are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through their lust of their own flesh, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." And now notice just a few things here tonight. Why missions? Well, I believe that we send out missionaries, obviously, and we plant churches and other things primarily to promote the gospel and preach the gospel and share the gospel and to show people that, again, that we have a Creator God and it's clearly seen. We have the truth. People are so deceived today, aren't they? They just don't understand and they're looking for something out there. They don't even know themselves. And so as we look at that, number one, notice that all would glorify God as God. That's truly the heart of missions, first of all. All would glorify God as God. He says in verse 21, "They knew God, they glorified him not as God." Sounds simple tonight, but truly our world does not glorify God for God. They don't see him as God. They have a skewed view, even people that claim to be Christians. And, you know, a lot of this Christianity today, you know, in our among our sports stars and athletes and other things, they say, "Well, I just want to thank the Lord." And they wear T-shirts and other things praising the Lord, having verses on them, stuff of that nature, which is great. And I appreciate that very much. But I think a lot of that is a very shallow Christianity. It's we believe in God, but what God? I want to know what God you're talking about. I want to know who or whom you're speaking of. And what are you saying? A clear presentation and a clear definition, as we read this morning, about when Paul went forward, he believed, you remember, the deputy believed when what? He heard the doctrine of God. The doctrine. I want to know the doctrine. Now again, just coming back to this, that all would glorify God as God. We send a missionary out to the field and they go out, and you folks probably know many missionaries, but they go out and that's exactly what they do. They go to a nation and they tell the people, "This is what you believe, this is your culture, this is what you grew up with, but let me tell you the truth." And for that, many of them are persecuted. They're put down or even in many places martyred or killed for doing just that. But we're going to tell people that God is God. They need to glorify this God. They need to lift him up and serve him, as he says in verse 20, clearly seen. We see it. We know it. Now, understanding some of this again, we need to glorify God in our lives. Do people see that? Do people understand and look at that? Do we ascribe glory and honor to extol, if you will, to the precious name of the Lord? God must be in our thoughts, in our mind, in our heart constantly. But he says, they, when they knew him, glorified him not. And you've heard story after story, maybe of a missionary go to a place and they're looking and they're saying, I want to know the truth. I'm looking. I've been serving a God, I thought. And the missionary comes and shares with them the scripture. And they go, I knew that. I knew there was a truth out there. There's got to be a truth, a God, a true God out there. And that's what we're doing. We glorify our God. You are who? you are said you are. We praise you and we worship you. They glorified him not as God. They may have glorified him as other things. Notice that. They may, and you know this, that many religions tonight, this very moment as we meet, they worship God, but they don't worship him as the God, the Almighty God. The Muslims believe in Jesus. The Muslims believe in God. But what God? They don't glorify Jesus as God, do they? The Mormons and JWs even in our own country tonight, they believe in God. They worship God. But what God? And that's what he says. They glorified him not as God. They glorified him as other things. So who is this God? We see throughout Scripture and understand, and I won't get into all of that, the details of it, but we start seeing God other than God. We've taken him off the throne, and we've put him, as he puts here, they became vain in their imaginations. Neither were thankful, again, became vain. Vanity is what? It's putting yourself on the throne of your own heart. Vanity is making yourself a god, basically, right? A god that says, I want to worship self. I want to have it my way. It's got to be my rules, what pleases me, etc. And that's what they're doing. He says they were neither thankful but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Just a clarification, when we take God off of the throne, our mind, our heart, our being, we become darkened. We no longer have that wisdom, discernment, and other things that we once had. We no longer have an understanding and clarity of our path and our way. We must have God. Keep him on the throne. And that's, again, the first step of our missions, that we would send folks out to clarify to them, we know who he is. And Paul goes there, as you know, to Mars Hill. And he says, this tomb or this plaque you have here to the unknown God, he says, I know who that is. And it says, people said, you do? Yep. Said other people said, you're just a crackpot. We don't believe you. And then it says other people said, well, we'll believe you. We'll hear you again on the matter. I'm interested in what you have to say, but not right now. And that's the world today. But he says, I know who this God is, and I'm going to declare to you who he is, because let me tell you. And then he goes into his very simple account of his testimony of the day he was saved. And it's as simple as that, isn't it? People are not going to hear it all the time. As I said, we're not going to reach everybody. There's people that you've prayed for years and even tried to reach with the God, and they may not ever get saved. And again, that's so sad to think about, but we do our part. We simply share the gospel. And again, coming back to sharing our testimony with those ones around us. Let God be God in our lives. Let God do his work. Let God do his part, and we do our part, which is sowing the seed. The sower went out to sow. He didn't go out and do anything else but sow the seed. He didn't go out and strategically place the seed in where he wanted it to go, although we can do that. But he went out and sowed the seed. And it says God then did the rest. He did the rest. They take God off of his throne, we said. They make idols, it says in verse 23. They make things out of birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You recall Moses and Joshua as they were up in the mount, and they looked, and they went first, they heard noise, and they went down, and it sounded, Joshua said, it sounds like war. It sounds like something screaming and yelling and all these things. Again, just a picture of the world's music, isn't it? But they were actually having a celebration. They're actually having a party down there. And Moses said, no, that's not the sound of war. And they go down and they see what's going on. And obviously what happened? They had taken, what, a calf, or made a calf out of, oh, by the way, they received all that gold and all those things from the world as they exited Egypt. All the Egyptians said, here, take the earrings, take the bracelets, take our necklaces, take everything. Just get out of here. And by the way, notice, as you take gifts from the world, it comes back to bite you. They took all of that and they built an idol out of it. And I find it so interesting to me. Why, if you're going to build and waste all of that gold and silver, why would you build a stinking cow, a calf? I would have built something cool, you know. I'm being funny, but you think, I would have built something a lot better than that. The hundreds of thousands of gods that the Egyptians worshipped, and you worship the cow? As you know, today in India and other places over there, the cows rule the place. You can't hit it with a car, it walks down. If it stops in the street, you got to wait in traffic for the cow to move. Why? Because that's someone's grandmother. That's someone's grandfather reincarnated. You don't dare mess with that. That could be Grandpappy over there. And that stinking cow. But you think about it. They came down and they built a four-footed beast and said what? Aaron said what? People, this is your God. This is who brought you out of Egypt. And our world does that today. This is your God. This is it. Here's the money. They dangle the money in front of us. Here's your God. Do what it tells you to do. And we think about today. We go into the mission field and we share the gospel to our little community, even right here. And we say to people, you may be serving a God, but I want to declare to you who this God is and make God God to them. Reveal it to them and may all glorify Him. Notice glorification. They glorified Him not as the true God. Now, they make idols. They worship. Today, people across the world trying to reach others. You know the story after story that goes, and I won't go into detail on those, but Adoniram Judson and others went, and Hudson went, and they had to get these people away from their idol worship and the things that they went through and all the debauchery and things that they do with those idols. They had to get them away from it. These people need the gospel message. We know the Creator God tonight. We're in the land of the free, home of the brave, and we sit in a church tonight with padded chairs, and we go over and can just push a button to change the temperature of the building. And our biggest worry maybe tonight is maybe can we pay rent or something of that nature. But hundreds of thousands, millions even tonight of Christians, you know, are not worrying about those things. We think about here that we send them, many of our people over, to reach these people and share with them the wonderful truth. These people need the gospel. Going throughout, I have several examples I wanted to share, but there's a book called Eternity in Their Hearts, and it's a wonderful book of the author who wrote it. Was a missionary that went over and talking about how they had a form of the truth, but they just didn't know the exact truth. And I won't go into all the detail, rather lengthy, but the essence of it is that they had eternity in their hearts already. They knew there was a God. And he went over and reached the people, in particular in the area of the Pacific Islands. And they said, yeah, we knew that. Our grandfather told us a story similar to that, that our God, and they named him, had a son, and they named the son, and then the son was sacrificed. And because of that sacrifice, we had the truth, and we have a way of eternity. And he came and got to declare the truth to them. But it's amazing today. The truth is in everyone's heart, just as Paul said. It's in our hearts. And you think about, we declare the truth. What is we doing? What are we doing? We're bringing it back to showing them to glorify God for who He is and declaring to them the truth, the truth. Worshiping tonight, people are worshiping they know not what, as Paul said there on Mars Hill. Jesus clarified a little bit and He says to the woman at the well, as you recall, you don't know what you worship. You worship you know not what, if you will. You know not what. Let me move ahead. Number two, though, that not only they would glorify God for who He is, but then secondly, they would put off the vanity of their imagination. As I said a minute ago, that vanity that comes in, they replace God with self. And the philosophy of our day truly has become look out for number one. Have it your way. How do you want it? How do you want it? We have vanity in our thinking. We need God. We need God to be God. The number one religion today, as you know, is no religion. People are not just interested, not interested, but they don't see a personal need for a God. Why do I need God when I have everything I need? Why do I need God when I have everything supplied to me and for me? I don't need this God you speak of. No religion. No religion. I don't need it. I don't want it, in fact. As I've tried to invite people to church and other things, as you have as well, people literally will get upset with you and say, I am not interested in your church. I'm not interested in going to church. I don't need church. And a lot of them that are believers, at least they claim to be believers, what do they say? Well, I worship God at home. I have my relationship with Jesus Christ. We have an understanding. And I always kind of chuckle at that because I want to point them to the Scripture and say, no, you don't have an understanding. You're disobeying God, and that's not an understanding between you and a righteous God. But again, that they had put off the vanity of our imaginations. Notice the wording he uses, imaginations. They imagine things in their minds. It's foolish, he says. Isn't that what we do today? You share the gospel with someone. Well, I think if I do right, do good, and I'm a good husband, and I take care of my family, and I don't, curse or drink or steal, or I'll be okay. That's an imagination. That's faulty thinking. That's wrong. Our society has become vain in the imagination. Taking God off the throne, taking God out of our homes, taking God out of our school system, taking the God of the Bible out of our court system and justice system and everything else. Paul will later say to the church at Corinth, and he says, casting down imaginations. That means literally throwing them out. And everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There's things in our lives that exalt against the knowledge of God. It fights against the knowledge of God. It pushes against our understanding and our belief and our true heart belief towards what we've been given and the truth and the doctrine. The world pushes against that constantly, says that's not true. And Paul says, cast those things down. It's imagination. It's false. They foolish heart. They profess themselves, notice, to be wise, verse 22. They profess, they speak boldly and outwardly and publicly to be wise, but they're fools. They're fools. They're foolish. I talked to a man many years ago, and he was a Muslim man, trying to invite him to church, and he's so against other religions. He had such a hatred almost for Christianity, and he truly believed what he was saying was right, and he said to me, he said, everyone else is wrong. I'm right. The Muslims are right. Everything else is wrong. And it bothered me because of that. And I thought he was so steeped and so strong in his belief, right? So strong. Well, what was it? It was vanity of his mind, vanity of his imagination. It was false thinking, false belief. We know the true God, but this is what the world is at today. They change the truth of God into a lie. When you deny him and profess yourself to be wise and glorify God not for who he is, the third step then is that they have to. It's inevitable. It's required. You have to change the truth of God into a lie. You have to change it. They have to take the Bible and change it into a lie and change the words and the meanings and all of that and eventually just shut the Bible and have nothing to do with the Bible. But you have to inevitably take it. And that's what the world is doing today. 2 Corinthians 11, he says, I fear, corrupted through the simplicity that's in Christ. I fear that you'll be corrupted. I fear that you will fall away because of the simplicity that's in Christ. Largest, really, you could call Protestant missionary group today is, as you know, the Mormons. And the Mormon Church is a large, very wealthy organization. And they require their young people, as they come of age as an adult, they require them to go serve on a mission somewhere across the world. And you have millions of these young people, especially with high energy and a lot of, zeal going out and promoting this toxic religion. It's horrific. It's heretical. And it's damning people to hell. But they're going out and doing this. And this is exactly what Paul is talking about. He says they've changed the glory of God and they have inevitably changed the truth of God into a blatant lie. It's just a lie. It's a lie. Within the first 5 minutes of talking with a Mormon, they're lying to you. They say, Jesus is not who he said he was. They're lying. They believe in good works to get themselves into some kind of a paradise. It's a lie. And we need to be careful and refute these people. They are heretical people, but millions across the world are being duped into believing that this is true Christianity. And that's what they say. We're Christians, right? We're Christians. Well, I grew up Christian. We're the same. We're Christians. We're Christian. We believe the same Bible you do. We believe in the same God that you believe in. That's what they say. And they dupe people into this. But again, that's what they're doing. They're changing the truth. Again, just a little bit. A little bit. Just 1%. Of that vial is poison. 1%. And that's what they do. We must reach our world. Let me move ahead. The account of Paul, you know that. The unknown God, I already talked about. But they believe the direct opposite. There's missionaries around the world that are reaching and doing the preaching the truth, and we're so thankful for them. But coming back to this, why are we reaching or emphasizing missions? Why are we attempting to support more missionaries and even, Lord willing, eventually send out some of our own in other ways? Well, it's because that we need to tell people that God is God. Who is the true God? They take God and they say, no, that's not God. We'll make our own God. Some people even believe they're worshiping the true God when in fact they're not. And secondly, that all would put aside the false thinking, vanity of their minds, foolish imaginations, and the corruptible things, the lies they're being fed, and figure out and find out and believe the truth of the gospel and know that. And that's why we do it. I love the song, there's a call comes ringing over the restless waves. Restless, isn't that the world tonight? Restless. They cannot find rest. Restless waves. And it says, send the light. There's souls to rescue, there's souls to save. Send the light. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light. And I love the quote, the darker the night, the brighter the light. The darker the place, the brighter the light. We ought to be a shining testimony to that. And we think about, we're blessed to live in this country, you know that, and to know the truth. And for most of us here growing up in a home or even around, maybe later in life you got saved, but around that you knew the truth. But there are people tonight, millions upon millions of people that know not the truth, never grew up around the Bible, never heard the name of Jesus, never knew any of that. That's why we give, and that's why we send, and that's why, Lord willing, we'll be able to support more missionaries here in the near future. And even be able to send forth more. Why? Because people are duped and they're stooped in heresy and lies directly from the adversary himself. And he's saying, you're okay, you'll be fine. Maybe I should search the truth. No, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Look at your grandfather and grand, they got by fine, didn't they? Look at them, they were fine. They were fine. He wants to dupe and deceive as many as he can. He wants to destroy those that are seeking the truth. He wants to hinder and harm us and defeat us and discourage us from sending forth more, from keep going another day, getting more pastors and missionaries to quit and step aside so what? He can stop the work that they're doing. I pray that we can be a part of that and sending forth more and standing for truth. Why? People need to know that there is, verse 20, clearly seen there is a God. He's out there. There's the truth. And we share the gospel with those people. Amen. Okay, I'll stop there. But I want to encourage you to do so. Don't stop inviting people. Don't stop sharing the gospel when you get opportunities. And don't stop praying that God would send forth more laborers into his harvest tonight. That they would know there's one true God. There's one true God. Aren't you thankful we know him tonight? Amen. We know him. I am so thankful we don't have to go home tonight. I thought about the other day. I thought, can you imagine being born into a Muslim home or born into a Hindu home? Or good night, even born into in America, just like we're, but born into a Mormon or JW home. Aren't you thankful tonight we're here knowing the truth and we have the truth? Thank God for that. Thank God we get to raise our kids in this truth. Amen. All right. Lord, thank you for time tonight to gather together. And again, share your word. As we just a point here to reflect on. Paul said over, 2,000 years ago, he said that there are people, they take the truth and they turn it into a lie. They take God and they think they're worshiping God, but they're not. They're taking him off the throne and they're making their own God. And Lord, they profess themselves to be wise, but in fact, they're foolish in your sight and in your eyes. And Lord, one day they will find out the truth. We pray you'd help us as a church and as people to not quit, not to give in, but get up and keep going. And Lord, help us to remain faithful to you in our Bible reading, our prayer time, and especially, Lord, as we reach the people around us, even though it seems like they don't want anything to do with it. Give us strength to keep focused and show them and share with them the truth. But we thank you for allowing us to be born not only in this country, but much more than that, being born and being able to hear the gospel and receive the gospel. And to now, Lord, be where we are. Lord, we love you. Thank you. Bless our week ahead, Lord. If we're able to come together on Wednesday over at Mountain Springs, again, we ask that you guide that. Guide the missions conference there, Lord. We can't wait to be a part of that. We love and thank you again. Be with our missionaries tonight around the world. In Jesus we do pray, and amen.